Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jody McDonald!
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Hour number two on a Saturday get-together here on The Fan. Jody Beck in for Evan Roberts. I'll take you to one in that Devil Ranger hockey right here on The Fan. Starting at 1 o'clock. Didn't get any hockey calls in hour number one. Let me look over. A couple people on hold. No hockey calls. We have had a couple of basketball calls so far, and we'll spend the next couple minutes go more in-depth on the NBA, and we do so with one of the best in the business. If you don't follow him on Bleacher Report, you call yourself an NBA fan, you're not doing justice to your fandom. From Bleacher Report, Howard Beck joins us here on The Fan. How was your Thanksgiving, Howard?
It was great, Jody Mac. How about yours?
Good. My wife actually made beef instead. We had never done that before on Thanksgiving. Huh. She said, I feel like beef. And then she went and made turkey yesterday because we had so much leftover accoutrement, including stuffing and mashed potatoes and everything else. Said, well, we got to have turkey for the entire weekend. So it was good. It was different. Had a nice piece of beef on Thanksgiving. Thank you for
you guys
asking.
Are rebels.
We were a little rebel. It was only three of us, me, my wife, and my daughter. So I can share the rebelness with our listeners. Thank you for asking. Are they ready to rebel at Madison Square Garden? Because between you and I, the Knicks stink.
They do. I don't think anybody should be shocked. This was pretty clear that this was the kind of season it was going to be. Maybe underachieving by a tad, you know. I don't think anybody reasonably expected this was going to be a very competitive team that was going to challenge for a playoff berth. But there's always degrees of bad seasons. You know, there's last year, the 17-win season, tying franchise low. You know, you can win in the mid-20s, you can win in the mid-30s and still be a non-playoff team. It's all a matter of what direction you're going. And I think there was at least some expectation that even if they weren't going to be competing for the playoffs, that they were at least going to start trending upward. And they are not trending anywhere. They're stuck in the mud. It doesn't matter who they signed over the summer. It doesn't matter what the hype was over their young guys. There's something amiss here. And I don't know if that's a disconnect between players and coach, if it's just not the right fitting talent. I will say that those of us who thought that they had a puzzling offseason, not just missing the big guys, that happens, but the way that they decided to spend that money, grabbing every, guy who was somewhere between 6'8 and 6'10, the whole joke about too many power forwards, yeah, it's kind of borne out. It's hard to get the most out of all those guys simultaneously. And then, of course, Julius Randle has underachieved, and he was, essentially their marquee signing. Kevin Knox has just completely flatlined, in his second year. Frank Ntilikina, ongoing project. RJ Barrett's looked nice. I mean, he's not destroying people, but he looks decent out there. He looks like he's got some promise. And, Mitchell Robinson's still blocking a lot of shots and picking up a lot of fouls. But there's just no one piece that makes this all make sense. You need somebody to be your hub of an offense and of a team and of a team's identity. They don't have that. They've got a bunch of disparate pieces that they're hoping grow into something. And, I don't think there's a clear agenda or a clear direction.
While the rundown you just gave us on the Knicks is tremendously on point, there was one thing that you said that was very disconcerting, and B, I think, just slightly overstated. So I'm going to ask you to put on your reporter's hat. You've only been listening to coaches talk for decades now and trying to read between the lines with what they say. After last night's game, Coach Fizdale said, despite the fact that Kevin Knox got the same number of minutes playing time that you and I did, that would be a goose egg, he's not buried. How do you make that statement after a game that a guy doesn't play any minutes when healthy, that he's not buried? How do you put any kind of a spin on that possibly being true?
Yeah, I don't think you do. I don't think you can. I think that, you know, Fizdale's having a hard time explaining why a guy who is, you know, a supposed to be a foundational piece, who is entering his second year, who has seemingly made some progress, looked like, you know, he seemed a little more polished coming into the season than he was as a rookie, that you're not playing him in a year where you're not expected to win at all. My good friend Ian Begley at SNY, you know, just tweeted this a little while ago on a story about this Kevin Knox issue about, you know, his reduced role, as he writes, would make sense if the Knicks were winning games, but they're 4-15. Like, why is he getting benched behind veterans that aren't helping them win? That was his tweet. And that's exactly it. If you are going to say that this is a season where we've just got to win, okay, you steer toward the veterans. You make your rotation more of a polished, ready-made winning rotation because the goal is to win now. If you are not expecting to be a competitive team, then you shift the other direction and you tell your veterans, guys, you're the more accomplished guys. Yes, you know how to play, but I've got to get these young guys developed. They need meaningful minutes, so I'm going to shift that way. And if you have a clear direction as a franchise, you do one or the other. What the Knicks are doing, as usual, is showing us these conflicting agendas. And I'll just speculate a little bit here. I think David Fizdale, I don't think it's a stretch to say, is probably coaching for his job. And when you start coaching for your job, you don't prioritize youth and development. You prioritize being competitive and trying to win, or at least trying not to get blown out by 20-plus points a night. And so you lean on the veterans that you trust more, and you leave a guy like Kevin Knox on the bench. That's what happens when you don't have a franchise where everybody's rowing in the same direction. Now, if they were on the same page, if they had the same agenda from top to bottom, what you would have is front office telling David Fizdale, look, you're fine. Don't worry about it. We got you. We believe in you. And what's more important right now is to develop our young guys. So whether that's Kevin Knox this year, whether that's Frank Ntilikina the last couple of years, whether it's Fizdale, whether it's Hornacek, whoever, that's what the good organizations do. You make sure you all have the same goals and that you're all backing each other up. I think what this is a symptom of is an organization where, for the umpteenth year in a row, that is not the case. And that's why you see the puzzling kind of rotation moves that you see, because somebody's just trying to keep their job.
And using last night's game as a very specific point, but it wasn't just last night. It's happened too many times in the first month and change of the season. I get it. You made the very much on point about too many power forwards and 6'8" to 6'10", 11 guys. Well, that's not Knox that we're talking about here. He's a wing player. He's not a power forward. And he's sitting behind Damian Dotson. What exactly does Damian Dotson bring to the table? And where does the future go with Damian Dotson as a guy that you're counting on to log minutes for you?
Yeah, I mean, look, again, you're Damian Dotson's a guy, you know, low ceiling, but a good rotation player and maybe more of a shot maker than Kevin Knox at this stage of their careers. And, you know, look, Knox is somewhere in between. You know, there are small ball lineups where Knox can be a four, and there are lineups where he'll be a three. I don't think he's really much more than that. I don't think, I don't see him as a two. He's like a 3-4. I think the real issue is, you know, Marcus Morris, who they're playing a lot, who has, I think, become kind of the face of this team in some ways. He's a 3-4. And, you know, Randall's a 4-5 who plays a lot on the wing. And, you know, so there is a domino effect when you have all these guys who are in that 3-4 range. They're affecting guys like Knox, who, you know, is kind of a natural three if he could, you know, become more of a consistent shooter, and who, again, he can slide to the four in small ball lineups. I mean, I think the glut of forwards, period, is part of what's affecting him. But again, more fundamentally, this is just a matter of look at the choices that Fizdale is making. It's leaning in favor of guys who have played a lot of minutes in this league and who can presumably make them more competitive and try to win games, because he is definitely more concerned about the record than he is about development right now. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but if fans are confused or concerned with the direction or the mixed messages, that's why. Because they're as they often are, the Knicks are caught in between. Are we trying to rebuild? Are we going to be patient about it? Or are we trying to win now because someone's breathing down our neck and saying, I don't like what I see out on the court. Do something about it.
Howard Becker, Bleacher Report, NBA insider here with us on The Fan. All right, while Kyrie Irving isn't playing, it hasn't kept him off social media. And he came out with the confusing, conflicted, I think completely off-point Instagram post the other night about how NBA fans should handle their business. A little shot to the media, too, but more so at the fans. I just thought it was way off point. Before we even attempt to break it down and look at it and say whether it was or wasn't worth putting out there on Instagram and or he's nuts, if you're the Nets, how do you handle that? Do you say something to him? Do you sit him down? Do you say, can you further explain this to us? Is there any way we can try and give you cover, or do you even want to give him cover? From a net perspective, when Kyrie goes off on Instagram the way he did, what should they do?
I don't think the Nets really need to do anything. I mean, I think if you're part of Kyrie's inner circle, you know, PR people, agents, family, whoever, I mean, you might want to talk to him about, you know, hey, look, is this the best way to express your concerns or your dismay over the way, you know, fans or media are responding to things? But I mean, there was nothing particularly alarming in his Instagram post. I mean, unless I'm forgetting something or you saw something that I didn't, I think, you know,
I'll interrupt you and just tell you, the fact that this is what I took from it. If you think I misread it and or misunderstood it, please correct me, but I thought I had a pretty good grasp on it. Shame on fans for booing Kyrie Irving. As if fans aren't allowed to express their opinion on a guy who decided to up and leave Boston after he said he was staying in Boston and the like. That fans are there just to appreciate the art that is basketball play. You don't get to determine how fans react. As long as they're not profane and making it difficult for other people to enjoy themselves at the game during the time, if they want to boo you, that kind of comes with the price tag. If you want to cash the big check, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen, Kyrie.
Well, he wasn't even there to be booed. and his reaction was kind of unspecific, right? Like, was he saying, don't boo me? Or was he saying, I was trying to figure out myself. Again, Kyrie sometimes speaks in riddles, and in this case, typed in riddles. And I was trying to figure out exactly which piece of the narrative or the response of the last few days leading to that Boston game was bothering him. My guess is it's the stuff where people were calling him coward, putting up those posters in Boston that said coward with his face on it, because it was the implication was that he was intentionally ducking the return to Boston. And Kyrie's got, you know, a legitimate shoulder injury that's kept him out for a couple of weeks, and he's still out and is going to miss tomorrow's game as well. So maybe it's because he didn't like the idea that people were portraying his absence in a way that, you know, is not, you know, consistent with the facts. You know, he's got an injury, he's not ducking. Okay, I mean, if he's frustrated about that, I get it. But to your point, Jody, and I generally agree, I don't think it's ever a good idea for players or even us in the media to try to tell fans how they should respond. Again, to your point again, yes, within reasonable civil bounds, right? Whether it's profanity, whether it's other things that fans have done that are way outside the lines in recent years. Yeah, that stuff is, you know, a different category. But whether you boo, whether you cheer, whether you're happy with a player or mad at a player, that's just fandom. And Kyrie and Kevin Durant and everybody else, you know, they've just got to kind of accept that. That's part of the bargain. I think he gets that. I think, you know, again, that's why my guess was, if anything had really set him off, maybe it was this idea that the injury was somehow just a pretense for ducking the return. And some of what he said in that Instagram post, like, he's kind of right about. It is just entertainment. It is just basketball. And then listen, fans pay for a reason, and that's why they make a good. The players make a good living because fans treat it as something that's a passion more than just entertainment. But he's right in trying to draw the line. Maybe the wrong time. Maybe the wrong word choice. Whatever delivery. But he's right to point out occasionally. They all are right to point out occasionally. Hey guys, it is just sports. It is just a game. This is not life or death. And the fact that people's passions sometimes take them in some pretty ugly or just exaggerated directions, I understand his frustration with that, because I see some stuff and hear some stuff sometimes where I think the same, like, hey, come on, folks, it is just sports.
Understood. But if you're standing on the sidelines and he's got a legit shoulder injury, his response for me should have just been, I'm hurt. And I'm like, do you want to see the x-rays? Yes, I have an actual injury. I'm not ducking anything. But that's just me. All right, last thing, Howard. D'Angelo Russell, who was very good for the Nets last year, and Kyrie has stepped into his void, even though the Nets win more games without Kyrie than with Kyrie. But again, I don't want to get off on a Kyrie tangent. He decided to take his act out to Golden State. He is now a member of the worst team in the NBA. And I don't know if they're going to improve anytime soon because of all of the injuries and defections they had. Is he going to spend the entire year with Golden State? Is he going to be a trade deadline piece? How early can Golden State actually start shopping him if they, and I know their owner came out and said, we're not going into tank mode. At some point, he's going to realize, yeah, we are pretty bad and winning games isn't actually helping us. Will they move D'Angelo Russell at some point during this year?
I wouldn't try to predict it. I would just say that I think when they signed him or acquired him in that sign-and-trade deal, that it was operating on multiple levels. They needed somebody to help take some of the load off of Steph Curry, and you know, obviously Steph Curry got hurt anyway, so that became a moot point. But it was ease the burden on Curry, get a piece so that you don't lose Durant for nothing, get a piece who that has some talent, some upside. Maybe you move forward with him. Maybe he's a trade piece. You know, you put all options in play, and it was a smart move in that regard. That said, this season has gone obviously worse than expected, in large part because of Curry's injury. And, you know, this is not a question of tanking or not. They're just done. It's not, you know, you're not making any decisions. This is who you are. You're a team with a bunch of, like, G-leaguers and, you know, young guys on the roster who can't possibly compete at any reasonable level. And when Steph Curry is ready to play again, the question will be, is it even worth putting him out there in what will obviously be by that time a lost season? Along the way, and D'Angelo Russell's been hurt for a couple of weeks here, but along the way, you know, D'Angelo Russell playing well enough that I think teams are going to certainly still be interested in him. Minnesota had been a team that already was before anyway. And if the Warriors get the right offer, I absolutely think they'll move him. They don't have to shop him. You know, the offers will come to them. And I do think that teams that are in need of a scoring point guard will make those phone calls. And if the Warriors get the right offer, they'll absolutely move him, because there's no point in holding on to him when he was, I think, probably more of a stopgap than anything else anyway. And if you can get a couple of pieces that help fill out the rotation, especially like a defensive wing, or a two-way wing, and then you get a healthy Curry and a healthy Klay Thompson and a healthy Draymond Green back next year and a couple pieces to fit around them, you're back in business.
I always learn something whenever I talk NBA basketball with Howard Beck. I did again today. Thank you much, Howard. Glad you had a good Thanksgiving. Have a good rest of your weekend. We will talk again.
You too, Jody. Thanks, man.
Howard Beck, Bleacher Report, here with us on The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.